Well, good evening and welcome again. We're so great to have you guys with us tonight. Before we get into our study, let's start our study with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity and has already been prayed this evening, Father, for the opportunity that we can meet together in this fashion, Lord. We long for the day that we can all meet back together face to face, Father, just seeking you and your will and your timing to have the entire flock back with one another. Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct the study tonight, Lord, that we would hear specifically from you, Father, that you would speak what you want us to know on your subject, such an important subject we're going to look at this evening. Lord, it's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So if you're new with us this evening for our study, over the last 18 weeks, we finished working our way through a book called The Green Letter Study, which, if you have this with you, it will be helpful this evening, where we've been looking at the necessary principles of spiritual growth. Now, something important to emphasize regarding this particular study, this is not a one-time study. So just because we have gone through all 18 chapters doesn't mean that this is a completion or that we've completed this or anything like this. This will be an ongoing, lifelong study. Now, a study that begins with maybe just a simple introduction to these particular topics. So maybe over the last 18 weeks, that's where you are tonight, that you've been introduced to some of these topics, or maybe this is your second or third time for some of us to go through this, and maybe that's where you are. But I want to stress that this is a lifelong study as we mature into the Lord. That's what he wants us to do. So tonight, I would like to start off our study with something that we looked at specifically on Sunday, but I think it really sets the context as to where we're going to go as we look at tonight's chapter. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to pick this up in verse 17, but I want to look again at the goal and who specifically is doing the work, because it really sets the context for going through chapter 1 again tonight, which I'll explain a little bit in a minute. So in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, should be reviewed for you from Sunday, but verse 17 says this: "Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Verse 18, why we're here: "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So again, I wanted to specifically start there this evening, and that's where the Lord led me, to look at what the goal is, what ultimately, why we're looking at these things specifically, and who's doing the work. We see that the Holy Spirit is transforming us into the image of the Lord. So why are we back in chapter 1? So tonight we're going to go through chapter 1, the chapter specifically on faith. So why are we looking at this again when we've already been through this? Well, first and foremost, I believe that this is the Lord's specific plan for us this evening. And I've known this for a little while. I've had the leading from the Lord that when we finished up our study specifically, that I wanted us to go back through, and that he wanted us to go back through chapter 1, because it really bookends the entire study. We started with faith, and as we've seen in our study, almost every chapter specifically has talked about the importance of faith. It really is the foundation of everything that we have looked at in this particular study. Now, earlier this week, as I was preparing with the Lord for this particular study, I searched through the electronic version we have of this. Well, the program actually did a search for me to see how many times in our Green Letters book that the word faith occurred in this particular study. Over 102 times in this particular study is the mention of faith. Just a couple of those. I won't read through them all because there's 102 of them. But things like this: to come by faith, Justification by faith. By faith, the believer reckons or counts himself dead indeed to sin. Except by faith. Here's another one. By faith in Christ. Be appropriated by faith alone. And these are just excerpts from the book. It goes on. Is appropriated by faith. It is faith which sees myself identified with Christ. You guys probably remember this one. Our intelligent faith standing upon the facts. Willingly take by faith. You guys seeing the connection here? How many times we've seen by faith? Here's a couple more. To walk by faith. Spiritual labor of faith, which springs from faith founded on the facts of the word. Again, these are just excerpts from different parts of the book. We enter by faith into objective truth. A time by faith. And it goes on and on. Not only just in our particular study here, but also in the Word of God. 245 times in the translation that we're reading from, the New King James, do we see the word faith. And that's not counting the derivatives of that, like faithful or other things. Just specifically the word faith. Now, what's interesting about that is it only occurs two times in the Old Testament. The rest of those occurrences are specifically in the New Testament. And I think that that's for a reason. I mean, think about the amount of times that Jesus specifically said in a lot of his, in the gospel, multiple gospel accounts, that by faith, or that this miracle was done by faith, or how they had a faith like he had never seen before of any other generation. Well, lastly, why we're back here again, it's one of the most important chapters of this entire study for us to understand. It's foundational. We understand what that means, right? Like if you're building a house, you got to start with the foundation. Well, that's why I believe that the author of this particular study started with the topic of faith, because everything else kind of derives from that. So hence, that is the reason that we're bookending our spiritual growth study for this particular season the way we started our study. So if you have your books, let's turn back to that first chapter. It's on page 9 if you have the smaller book regarding faith. And again, this is going to be a review. We have gone through this before, but we're going to go one more time through this just to remind ourselves specifically what faith is about. So the first paragraph says this. The aim of this book is to carefully bring out some of the more important principles of spiritual growth. That's why we've been here. That's what we've been looking at over the last 18 weeks. It's those very things, principles of spiritual growth. He continues, he says, to help the reader build upon a sound biblical foundation in Christ. He can honor no other. The Holy Spirit had Paul write to each of us, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Now, we talked about this previously, but he's quoting here from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 specifically. We looked at that as well on Sunday. That's kind of how we wrapped up Sunday's teaching. We'll see that again tonight specifically. But what Paul's talking about here is not about salvation when he's referring to faith, rather about what we're to look or what we're going to look at in the rest of tonight's study. Simply put, or to put the question simply, are you holding to what the Lord says? When he's referring to faith, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. In other words, are you holding to what the Lord has said in his word? Maybe you could simplify it even further and say, are you believing what the Lord said? Well, he continues here. He says, let's reread that sentence. The Holy Spirit had Paul write to each of us, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And the recommendation is certainly not out of order at the very inception of this series of studies. He says, first of all, we must remind ourselves that without faith, it is impossible to please him, speaking of God from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He continues, he says, moreover, and this is an all-important, true faith must be based solely on scriptural facts. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, from Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Unless our faith is established on facts, it is no more than conjecture, superstition, speculation, or presumption. That is such a key understanding when it comes to our faith, that faith has to be established upon the word of God and has to be factual. So a couple of key aspects we get right out of the gate regarding faith. Well, first of all, without it, as we just read, it is impossible to please God. That should be a very humbling statement for each of us. Without it, that's what the word of God says, it is impossible to please him. Well, secondly, as we just read, it must be based on scriptural facts. Now, what that does tell us is that it is possible to have faith in the wrong thing. If our faith is not based on scriptural facts, you may have faith in something. It's not the biblical faith that he is talking about or what the Lord is pleased by. Well, thirdly, we saw something else here. It comes by the word of God. As we quoted, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, from Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Well, another thing that's not specifically covered here in our study, but we know this as well, from Romans chapter 14, verse 23, whatever is not of faith in the Lord's eyes is sin. So think about that, brother or sister, for a minute. If it's not of faith, it's considered sin. That's how the Lord views it. Well, the author here continues on that last paragraph of the first page there. He says, Hebrews chapter 11 leaves no question about this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a really good working definition of what faith is, but we're going to get some more information. He says, faith standing on the facts of the word of God substantiates and gives evidence of things not seen. Again, it's faith standing on the facts in the word of God. And everyone knows that this evidence must be founded upon facts. Well, you know that as well, right? That's how it works in the natural world, for example. Like, think for a minute about a person that is charged with a crime. Whether or not they're guilty is based on the facts. That's always what they're trying to look for, is to determine what was the facts of the situation. Well, in the same way, the natural supports the supernatural aspect of it, that it works the same way, that our faith must be standing on the facts of the word of God. That is what true faith is. He says at the very last sentence there on that page 9, he says, all of us started on this principle when we were born again. Our belief stood directly upon the eternal fact of the redeeming death and resurrection of our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. We just saw that a couple weeks ago on Sunday. This is the faith by which we began. And it is the same faith by which we are to stand. From 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, we'll see that this Sunday, Lord willing. And walk, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. And live, from Galatians 2, verse 20. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Now, what is the author saying? Well, when you were born again, you trusted the Lord by faith to become a child of God. Well, it doesn't just apply there. It also applies to our standing. We talked about this Sunday evening when we wrapped up 2 Corinthians 13, or where we wrapped up in 2 Corinthians 13. But not only that, it's not only standing, but it's also our walking, our daily lives with the Lord, and ultimately about living, as we saw, with the central point that it's all in Him, that we stand, we walk, and we live in Him. Now, additionally, we also see from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That is how the Christian is to walk. Again, by faith, not by sight. Now, let's remind ourselves of a couple of things that faith is not. That's where the author is going next. So he says this. He says, since true faith is anchored upon scriptural facts, that's what we've talked about so far, we are certainly not to be influenced by impressions. Well, what we see that faith is not is to be influenced by impressions. What are impressions? Well, it's the way we think or the way we feel, the way a certain thing makes us feel. The author's saying that we're not to be influenced by that. Why would that be? Because we're supposed to be influenced because our faith is to be based on the facts of the Word of God, not how we feel about something. That's very contrary to what the world believes. The world is all about the way you feel and the way it makes you feel or makes another person feel. On this topic, George Mueller said, impressions have neither one thing nor the other to do with faith. Faith has to do with the Word of God. If you highlight underscore in your book, maybe it's already underscored from the first time we went through here. This is one of those things to star. Faith has to do with the Word of God. It's not impressions, strong or weak, which will make the difference. We have to do with the written Word and not ourselves or our impressions. That's what it's about. It's not about impressions. Well, it's another thing here that it's not. He continues, he said, then too, probabilities are the big temptation when it comes to exercising faith. Well, what are probabilities? Probabilities were like, well, this may happen, or based on past experience, I know that this is going to happen thus or so. So probably it's going to turn out the same way. Well, as the author says here, it's not based on probabilities. We make decisions every day, unfortunately, using probabilities. Maybe not necessarily consciously, but we do. Take driving, for example. We do a lot of probabilities. We assume or we know that every time we push that brake pedal, or most likely, that it's going to stop our vehicle. That's an example of a probability. You use that every day. You don't know for certain that's the case. When we think about probabilities, what if rather than using probabilities, we took it to the Lord for certainty? Think about that in decisions. I think specifically of the virus and the pandemic we're going through. A lot of what's happening right now is based, and the response to it is based on probabilities. The probability of getting the virus. The Lord doesn't want us to work in probabilities. He wants us to work in absolutes, and that comes from Him, asking Him, and from the Word of God. So what we're seeing is that faith is not built on probabilities. The author continues. He says, too often the attitude is, it doesn't seem probable that he will ever be saved. Whose understanding is that working by? The all-knowing Lord's understanding or your understanding? And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 come to mind regarding that. He says, continues, maybe you've heard someone say it like this, the way things are going, I wonder if the Lord really loves me. That idea of wonder, that's a probability, because we have a certainty as to whether or not the Lord loves us. His word tells us that he does love us. Well, to wonder about that, that's basing your understanding on a probability. Mueller, again, he wrote this. He said, many people are willing to believe regarding those things that seem probable to them. Another statement to underscore. Faith has nothing to do with probabilities. Faith has nothing to do with probabilities. It's not based on probabilities. Well, he continues. He says the province of faith begins where probabilities cease and sight and sense fail. That's where faith works. Province, not a word we use a lot, but the special knowledge you could put in there. The special knowledge of faith begins where probabilities cease and sight and sense fail. Well, why is that? Well, as we looked at a little bit ago, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the way it works with the Lord. He continues. He said, appearances are not to be taken into account. The question is whether God has spoken it in his word. And that is what basis our faith needs to be based on. That is what it needs to be. And I can't underscore this particular point enough. And when we're thinking about a situation, maybe you find yourself in a situation this evening, the question to ask is whether God has spoken whatever it is in his word. That's what our faith needs to be based specifically on. Another brother says this, Alexander R. Hay adds to this by saying, faith must be based on certainty. There must be a definite knowledge of God's purpose and his will. You hear the maxim a lot. You got to know in order to grow, right? There must be a definite knowledge of God's purpose and will. Without that, there can be no true faith. Well, why would that be? Because if you don't know what the Lord said and what his purpose for you is, as we looked at this evening, his will is for you, then how can you know what his plan is for you? Without that, there can be no true faith, because you got to know what the Lord said. For faith is not a force that we exercise or striving to believe that some things shall be, thinking that if we believe hard enough, it'll come to pass. That's not what faith is. A lot of people think that that's what faith is. Oh, if I just could believe hard enough. A lot of people misconstrue what Jesus' words were on that. That if I just believed harder. Well, that's not at all the way it is. It's not a force or a striving to believe that something shall be. It's resting rather in what the Lord has already said. He says, that may be positive thinking, but certainly not biblical faith. It's got to be established on the word of God, the facts of it. Evan Hopkins writes regarding faith, faith needs facts to rest on. Presumption can take fancy instead of fact. God in his word reveals to us the facts with which faith has to deal. It is upon this basis that J.B. Stoney, an author that's quoted quite a bit in our None But the Hungry, can say, real faith is always increased by opposition, while false confidence is damaged and discouraged by it. As I was thinking about that, it reminded me of exactly where we were on Sunday, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, specifically about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Real faith is increased by opposition. Those difficult things, well, real faith is increased by that. If it's a false faith, it's about yourself. Well, it's damaged and discouraged by it. And I think we see that so often played out. There can be no steadfast apart from immovable facts. Peter's burden was that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. From 1 Peter verse, or chapter 1, verse 7. He continues, he says, once we begin to reckon or to count, we spent a lot of time talking about that in our study, on the facts, our Father begins to build us up in the faith. Now, remember one of the first verses we saw this evening in our study, back from that first, maybe second paragraph? It said this, and we saw this Sunday, but it said, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. This is the faith that Paul is referring to. The faith the Lord is building us into. I think a lot of people miss this point by assuming that this is only referring to salvation when he says faith. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. It's so much more than just talking about whether or not you are saved. It's whether or not you're holding to the facts of the Word of God that we just looked at. Again, once we begin to reckon or count on the facts, our Father builds us up in the faith. It wouldn't make sense there if that was referring just to salvation. You're already saved, is what the Lord said. No, this is a faith in the facts. This is where maturity comes, where the entire rest of this study and the things we've looked at is applied here. When Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith, that's what he's referring to. Are you holding specifically to what the Lord has told you to do? Are you believing him? Well, he continues. He says, from his profoundly simple trust in God, Mueller was able to say that God delights to increase the faith of his children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hands as a means. I say, and I say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, sometimes defeats, are the very food of faith. That so harmonizes with what we looked at exactly regarding Paul's thorn in the flesh. As Carla prayed this evening, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, continuing, think, for example, what we read in Hebrews. Hebrews, we see a lot of conversation or a lot of information regarding faith. That's what we typically refer to as the hall of faith of all the different people we see, or some of the different people, I would say, throughout the Bible. And the key statement that appears over and over again is by faith, by faith, by faith, this person did this. By faith, this person did that. Well, towards the end of that, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the writer of Hebrews says specifically that Jesus is the author or the originator and finisher or the perfecter of our faith. That's who's doing the work. What a precious, great, and precious promise from the Lord that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. That's the process that he's taking us through. That's the faith he's talking about specifically when he says, examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. Now, specifically, think about Paul again, that thorn in the flesh that we talked about. was allowed by God. We saw that. We looked at that on Sunday. Ultimately, to increase Paul's faith and dependence on God. So again, faith is dependence upon God. Well, let's back up here. I say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. Now, another brother is going to give us a little bit more information. He says, on the same subject, James McConkie wrote, this is probably my favorite quote from this particular chapter, faith is dependence upon God. And this God dependence only begins when self dependence ends. This is probably one of the clearest definitions we get in tonight's study of what faith looks like. Faith is dependence upon God, and this God dependence only begins when self dependence ends. Why is that? Because self cannot be in the presence of the Lord. We saw that from Romans chapter 14, verse 23 tonight, that whatever is not from faith is sin. So if it's of yourself, it's in the sin category. Can't be accepted by him. So that is why the author can say here that faith is dependence on God. And this God dependence only begins when self dependence ends. He continues and says, and self dependence only comes to its end with some of us when sorrow, suffering, affliction, broken plans, and hopes bring us to the place of self helplessness and defeat. Maybe that's where you find yourself this evening. Have you ever considered that maybe this was by God as a way to tell you that self-dependence must end? You can't accept anything that's of you. We've seen that clearly in our study. Well, he continues, and only then do we find that we have learned the lesson of faith. To find our tiny craft of life rushing onward to a blessed victory of life and power and service undreamt of in the days of our fleshly strength and self-reliance. The lesson of faith. What is the lesson of faith? Simple and complete dependence on the Lord. That's what he's bringing us to. We had a conversation a couple weeks ago about what maturity looks like. I think this is an aspect of being mature in the Lord. Where is your dependence? How much dependent are you on him? The lesson of faith that we're all learning, and we're all in this process together, is simple and complete dependence on the Lord. Think about Paul, for example, and his progression, or Peter, for example. You see a greater and greater dependence on the Lord. That's maturity. That's what he's driving us to the point where we can say that our life is worth nothing, like Paul said, other than the things or his dependence on the Lord. He continues. He says, J.B. Stoney agrees by saying, it is a great thing to learn faith. That's why we're here again. That's why we're looking at this. This is a lifelong process. He said, it's a great thing to learn faith. That is simple dependence upon God. That's what biblical faith looks like. Think about all those biblical people, or all those people we see in Hebrews that we talked about earlier. It was all by faith. It was simple dependence on what God said. It will comfort you much to be assured that the Lord is teaching you dependence upon himself. And it is very remarkable that faith is necessary in everything. This is another one of those points to underline or highlight in your book here. Faith is necessary in everything. When he means everything, that's what he means. Faith must be present in everything. That's what the Lord's looking for. Faith in Him, trusting and resting in Him. He continues, "The just shall live by faith, not only in your circumstances, but in everything." Everything. You know, sometimes I think we think about faith when we're specifically thinking about a circumstance we're going through. That's when we're like, oh, well, yeah, I got to think, yep, we got to have faith in the Lord. No, it's in everything. And we go back to that example about the probabilities that we talked about what faith is not. Well, it's not about probabilities. The very things that you take for granted are the things that we don't consciously even think about that we're using probabilities. Take them to the Lord. Everything, as we said, the just shall live by faith, not only in your circumstances, but in everything. I believe the Lord allows, he says, many things to happen on purpose to make us feel our need. I think it would be more appropriate to say the Lord allows all things to happen on purpose. That's what we see from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. That all things are working together to make us feel our need of Him. That's the very thing He did with Paul, as we looked at on Sunday. He continues, "The more you find Him in your sorrows or wants, the more you will be attached to Him and drawn away from this place where the sorrows are to a place where He is." That's what this is all about. He quotes from Colossians 3, verse 2, "Set your affection on things above." That's ultimately where we want to be, is to be in that place where He is. That's what He's making us into. Then as He wraps up this particular chapter, he says, actually, we cannot trust anyone further than we know Him. Well, faith isn't just about knowing the facts. Even the demons knew some facts about Jesus and who He was. That's not what it's about. Faith isn't just about knowing the facts. It's rather about knowing Him as our life. That's what the facts are leading us to. It's bringing us into that deeper relationship, that intimate knowledge, that gnosis of Him. That's what they're pointing us to. So we must not only learn the facts involved, but ever more intimately come to know the One who presents and upholds them. That's what we're being transformed into, as we looked at this evening in 2 Corinthians. He says this, "And this is eternal life," or life eternal, "that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast seen." That's what eternal life is. Knowing Him, from John 17, verse 3. He quotes again from Scripture. He said, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature," from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. That's what He's already promised. He's already given us those things, those great and precious promises. He's given us everything for life and godliness, that we would know Him and rest and trust and believe in Him. So as we wrap up things this evening, why review this chapter again? Well, for one, as we looked at, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's why this is so important. And secondly, as a result of that, everything, as we just read, for life and godliness, our Christian walk is based on believing God's word by faith, our complete dependence on Him. That's what this is about. If you remember from last week, when we finished up our chapter, the last chapter of this book, page 91 on continuance, he said this, bottom of the page 90, last chapter on continuance, chapter 18, he says, Paul writes to us, as he did to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men. That's what the Lord's working or looking for, is those that are faithful, people that have heard these things, the very things we've looked at. Commit those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's what making disciples looks like, that you would teach them the very things you've learned from the Lord. He continues, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 3. We rejoice with you as you continue in him. The Lord is faithful. That's our God. That's our Father. He is faithful who will or shall establish you. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. So again, why are we back here this evening? Because this is such a foundational chapter. Everything, all the promises of God work by the same principle we've looked at this evening. Faith in the facts. Faith is dependence, absolute dependence on Him. That's what biblical faith looks like. So that's why I believe that the Lord has led us this evening to go back and look at this, that we too would be encouraged. So before we end the recording and turn it over to you this evening for any questions or comments regarding what we looked at this evening or what the Lord may be leading you to share with us, let's close with prayer. Father, we do again thank you for this opportunity this evening. We thank you, Father, for your word. As we've seen this evening, faith is absolute dependence on you. Biblical faith begins where self-dependence ends. Father, that is my prayer this evening, that the things we've looked at this evening, Father, that you would apply those specifically to each of us. Lord, that we would become dependent on you and not dependent on ourselves. The temptation, as we looked at, as the author pointed out, Lord, and as I believe you led the author to share with us, there's so many other things that we often have faith in. We have faith in probabilities. We have faith in our own understanding of things. But that's not at all what your word says. Lord, my prayer is that we would be established in you. That we would examine ourselves to see whether or not we're holding to what you said and whether our understanding is based on biblical, scriptural facts, Father. So again, Lord, I ask that you would apply these things to us this evening. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.